a man called at the church and asked if he could speak to the head hog at the trough. The secretary said, "Who?" The man replied, "I want to speak to the head hog at the trough." Sure, now that she had heard correctly, the secretary said, "Sir, if you mean our pastor or the reverend," "Sir, if you mean our pastor, you would have to treat him with more respect and ask for the reverend or the pastor. But certainly you cannot refer to him as the head hog at the trough." At this, the man came back, "Oh, I see. Well, I have $10,000. I was thinking of giving to the building fund." The secretary responded, "Hold the line. I think the big pig just walked in the door." I debated about sharing that story. I thought it was a little bit very far-fetched on respect, but I liked it. I thought it was an interesting story. This two quotes here I came across in my studying, they don't really relate to respect, but they relate to school, and so I thought I'd share them. School teachers have to face their problems every day, whereas bus drivers have all their problems behind them. Did you hear about the two unemployed teachers? One had no principal and the other no class. All right, respect. I don't like teachers that give disclaimers, and so I'll try not to do that. But anyway, I invite your help and participation in the class, and if you have ideas, feel free to share them because I'm open to that. I'm not teaching this class. I did not take this class because I feel like I have this all down pat. So I'm anxious to hear what you have to say. A few questions to explore. What is respect? What comes to your mind when you think about respect? What do you think about? Got a bunch of blinks there. I know I'm kind of putting you on the spot.
Whenever I hear the word respect, something that always comes to my mind is a sermon that was preached in our church where the preacher differentiated between the word respect and honor. We often tend to think that respect is something we deserve. But if you look up the actual definition of respect in the dictionary, it actually says something that's earned. Whereas the word honor is something that, when God says honor all men, we do it regardless of whether they're worth it or whether they deserve it or not.
Right. Good point. All right. Anything else?
Yeah. Question with that, do we ever respect people because of who they are?
Do we respect people for just because of who they are?
Is there a difference between respecting the office and respecting the person?
Well, I was the one asking questions here. I'm not asking questions. I think it's good to raise questions because what it does is it gets us thinking. So maybe we don't get answers, but it helps us think. So any other thoughts about what was shared?
I'm not sure to share it, but recently someone said about, yes, we teach our students to respect the teachers, but the real respect is what comes from the heart. Yes, but we didn't teach them to respect outwardly. Mm-hmm. They have to do that, but as a teacher, you earn the respect that comes from the heart.
Right. You can, to a certain extent, you can almost demand respect. You can go through the form, but really, it has to come from the inside. All right. How do you get it? These are all things you think about when you're teaching. Like, you know, how do I get this? You know, I got students that aren't respect. How do I get it? Like, you're kind of grabbing sometimes in the middle of the year. Is it possible to obtain? How do I get it back? Where have I lost it? Is it even important? Those are all some questions I had just to kind of get my own self thinking around this idea of respect. This kind of overlaps with Neil's talk, and I hope I don't repeat too much what he's going to say, but we already kind of went through the definition of respect, a feeling of appreciative, often deferential regard or esteem, the state of being regarded with honor or esteem, willingness to show consideration or appreciation is the technical definition of respect. I'd like to, some of you probably recognize this over here from Neil's talk yesterday, and I kind of stole it from him, I guess. I was thinking about this, his thing about God, Christ, church, teachers, and then students. So as teachers, he was talking about how it stacks up. Students respect us, we respect the church. Church is responsible to Christ and Christ to God. And I was thinking about that. As we teach respect to our students, they're looking to us to be an example of that, right? And it doesn't stop there. it's kind of a chain reaction, which we show respect to the church, right? And the church shows respect to Christ, and then Christ passes that respect on to God. So really, we're just a link in the chain, and this thing, really, we're trying to point our students to God. Isn't that who we're trying to look to? And that kind of hit me, you know. I'm just a link in the chain. The buck doesn't stop with me. I'm just passing this on. So really want to instill it here so that they can look past us and see God, right? And then he said, when we disrespect the church and Christ and God, we kind of shoot ourselves out here on a limb, right? Now what happens? When they lose respect for us and we're not connected to the church or God, then what? They're left wondering, right? Because there's nothing left. That was kind of a sobering thought I had. So I thought I would share it. Maybe it didn't make sense to you, but of course in my mind it did. Anyway. All right. So just a sideline on respect there. I'd like to look a little bit of a biblical basis for this. What does the Bible say about respect? If you think of verses, just pop them off. What does the Bible say about respect? Any references that come to your mind?
Fear God, honor the king.
Fear God, honor the king. Good.
Obey them that have the rule over you.
All right, good.
This is what I was thinking earlier, but esteem them that are no, honor them. The thought of honoring, and it's talking about church leaders, but honoring them because God put them there.
Right.
Honor them that have the rule over you.
And esteem them highly for their work's sake. I have that. Talk a little bit about that later on. All right, we're good. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. As you would that men should do to you, do ye also to them. The golden rule. So easy to say. We probably learned it when we were 3, 4, 5, 6 years old. That's something that amazes me. The Bible's so simple, but yet it's so hard to put into practical everyday life. Some consequences of disrespect. In Matthew, talks about letting him die the death for disrespect. That's pretty serious when it comes down to it. In honor, preferring one another, the Bible says. And that's why, I guess I'll just share this now. It's something that, as I studied for this, you know, I started seeing areas in my life where I could probably improve on respect. And that's why I think it was good for me to study this. Preferring one another is a lot involved in that. Who in the Bible disrespected, and what were the consequences? Can you think of anybody in the Bible that was disrespectful?
Elisha and the children.
Yeah, the she bears.
Cordathan
the Byron. Yeah. Now most of us, if we disrespect, it's not gonna like the bottom drop out of us and swallow us up. But someday it will if we don't respect. Any others?
Moses, God spoke to him, and he got angry.
You whack the rock. You get angry, whack your students, and split their heads open. Oh, I hope not. I thought of Pharaoh. He made the comment, "Who is the Lord?" Wow, how disrespectful! Who is the Lord? Kind of like, what do I have? How to? And these attitudes come through not only in children but in adults too. And that's something we need to be as teachers watching for. All right, just a few things right off the top here. Key things to teach about respect. And here again, welcome your input. I think number one should be respect for God, as we can see. That should be the very key thing we're trying to teach. It's not all about me, it's about God. And so we should be training our students respect for God. And how do we do this? Well, I had to think about God's always good, he's always fair. And students should hear us be saying that. You know, something happens, a circumstance happens in your church or in your home community. Oh, that's just terrible. Well, you know, really well. No. Yeah, it is. But God's good. He's fair. That's a very key thing that children need to learn. God's omnipotent, omniscient, and he's omnipresent. God is someone to be respected and someone to be feared. Another thing I think it's important for children to learn is God is, he is forgiving. He's compassionate. He's loving. He's gentle and just. I have a little more to say on that. But children need to see God as that. And as teachers, we are a huge, our students can get a vision of what God's like through how we act. And that's kind of sobering to think about. Children, if you're a father here and you have children, children get a concept of God by how you relate to your children. I'll talk a little bit more of that later. So we shape our children's view of God and how much they're going to respect him ultimately. Number two, respect for things of God, the Bible. We should show very high respect for that. How do we do that? Prepare meaningful devotions. That's a challenge for me. You wake up in the morning, oh man, I got to get devotions ready. How do you make it meaningful? Well, start by having your own personal devotions, and I'll confess I'm probably the worst for that, but it has to start there. Get up in the morning, read your Bible, find something inspirational for yourself, and then go to the schoolroom. The devotions that come out of a heart of inspiration for me are way better than ones that I'm forced to like dig through all this morning, those little experiment books, you know. Oh, good, I can find like top 10 experiments to explain the Bible lesson. Those never work out as good as ones that just come from the heart. So prepare meaningful devotions that teaches them respect. Be quick to turn to Scripture and read from the Bible in your classroom. We say we're a biblical school, so let's open our Bibles and turn to it. Not everything, obviously you can't, but place a higher importance on that. And I think, too, I don't do it all the time. Maybe some schools do, but there's times when I'll just, let's pray before we start our school day. And that speaks to the students, and it puts in them, instills in them a respect for their teacher because they see that, wow, he wants to be connected to God. He wants to have a connection, and he's interested in spiritual things. That, I think, is a very key thing that students need to see us pray, hear us pray, and also, so take them to the Bible, pray with them. Those are all good things to establish respect. Treat your Bible respectfully. I have students sometimes that like to throw them behind their desk. I just hate to see that. A Bible stacked under a whole stack of dictionaries or whatever, and then the bindings start getting torn. That's just a pet peeve of mine, I guess. Probably instilled in me from my dad. He never left us put our Bibles on the floor. He just didn't like to see that. And I think that's good. It speaks of something respectful. So those are some things I thought about. Respect church and church leaders. The classroom is not a place to solve church issues. If things are going on in your congregation or you hear about things, let it go. There's enough of crap flying around out there with us teachers talking about. You know, we don't need to bring that kind of thing into the classroom. So let those kind of issues outside of the classroom. I quote here, do we esteem or esteem church leaders? Comes from the verse, and to esteem very highly for their work's sake and be at peace among yourselves. That's not original with me, but it stood out to me. Do we esteem them or do we esteem them? There's a big difference. It's not like cauliflower where you put in the kettle and crank up the heat. No sacrilegious stories should be tolerated at school. So watch out for those kind of things in your classroom. It's something that doesn't always have a teach respect to our students. All right, for the rest of the class, I would like to spend time exploring an acronym for respect. I kind of like those sort of things, so we'll fill them in here as we go. Before we go into that, a key thing to remember, more is caught than taught in all these following points. It starts with how we live from day to day. Students are watching us. You can stand up all day long and talk about respect, but if you're going to be disrespectful, it's not going to get anywhere. Your talk, how you handle yourself is a huge thing. I'm amazed at body language, how much it speaks to the students of respect. So watch how you handle yourself and also how you talk. Even just your general attitude toward life. Came across this quote, give an elementary student 3 days and the student will mirror you. Give a high school student 10 days and the student will mirror you. So they're watching. They really are. And I think even younger students, maybe sometimes more so than older students. All right, let's get on with this thing here. Number one is R, and I'm just going to put the first word here, and that is recognize. Recognize the inherent worth of all human beings. Everybody is important, and we need to teach that in our classroom. And I will say, I'm probably going to tend to be speaking to us as teachers. I don't have a lot of key things of, you know, how to get this, but I'm going to speak to you as a teacher. How are you relating and how are you respecting people? Because I think, like I said, they're watching us and how we relate to people. So recognize the inherent worth of all human beings. Treat people like people. That sounds like a no-duh statement, right? You're a person, we treat them like a person. Well, yeah, what all is involved in that? Just treat them like a person. Sometimes I hear teachers that, you know, they really sass off their children. And, well, they just don't respect me and I just can't get respected. Well, you're not treating them like a person. Use the golden rule. Treat them like they're someone special. And they'll respect you. One soul is worth more than the whole world. We sing the song, red, brown, yellow, black, and white. They are precious in his sight. No racist and Pollock jokes in the classroom. I thought about that in relation to this. You know, it's easy to I kind of enjoy them myself sometimes, but should be something that we allow in our classrooms. It's not does not showing respect for all human beings. Another thing I'm thinking about recognize, it takes special effort to talk to and connect with in some way to all the students in your room. How many have students in your room that you just have a hard time connecting with? Do you have students like that? I can think of some right off. They're kind of quiet. They sort of sit in their desk and they don't ever be bad, and that's good, and they don't really ever do anything really outstanding, and so you just kind of, they're there, you know. But sometimes I have to catch myself and take special effort to just find something to connect with them on. Hey, you know, what did you do last night, you know? And they enjoy that. So I think that that's showing worth for all human beings. So take special effort to connect with the students in some way. That can be a hard thing to do. Eliminate derogatory words and phrases from your own vocabulary. We get in the habit of thinking, that's weird, you know? Maybe you'll say that about something. He's weird. Is that respect? No. They're goofy. They're really goofy. If we don't catch ourselves, those kind of things come through. Or he's stupid. Catch your students saying things like that. It doesn't show respect for all human beings. And my last one here is the word duh. How many of you hear your students use duh a lot? How many of you use it? It's a pet peeve of mine, and I use it, but I hate it. But I just, I don't know. To me, it doesn't seem respectful. Like someone says something like duh. That doesn't seem respectful. I don't know. Just something I jotted down here. So watch out for, I'm not saying it's go back to your classroom and knock them on the head every time they say the word duh, but just remind them, like, okay, give me a more clear answer than that. It all, I think, has to do with this thing of respect. All right, letter E, encourage. Encourage every student. Some of these are kind of maybe related. I'm sure you'll probably notice that. Be a coach, be a mentor, be a teacher. Take special time for them, especially the struggling ones. Those are sometimes require a lot of effort and take a lot of time, but take special time for them. It speaks to them that you care. Help them reach their full potential and inspire them. And how do we do that? Any ideas? How do you inspire and create energy in your students? How do you do that? How do you inspire students, or don't? All right. Very good. Anything else? How do you inspire them?
Be inspired yourself.
Good. Be inspired yourself. That's right. I'm amazed sometimes when my students seem very drowsy and not with it, I'm just like, oh, okay, I'm not very with it right now. That's why. Okay. And so you go to the restroom and wash your face or do something to get yourself woke up. How else do you inspire students?
Notes of encouragement when you see something you appreciate that they did.
Encourage.
Whether they think about it or not.
Good.
I think that can encourage them.
Very good. And it teaches respect, you know. You're important. I'm going to give you a compliment. You did a good job there. There's a lot of subtle things about this thing of respect. It's not all about saying the right things, and it's a lot about just living the right things, and I think you'll have respect. Be enthused. That was one of my points. Just act like you're at your job. You're bouncing off the walls. This is just where I want to be today. I know every day doesn't feel that. And some of us do it easier to do that. Some of us that bounce off the walls are used next day laying on the floor. So maybe it's better to be consistent and instead of trying to. I think about on the playground. Dennis can probably relate or hear me doing some of these things sometimes, but I sometimes feel like maybe I get too much down. But get into the game. I mean, students love that. You're out there playing ball. Yeah, good hit or whatever, you know. I know we have to watch as teachers. We don't lose our dignity, but sometimes I think we're too concerned about dignity. Oh, I would not raise my voice in a lovely, loud compliment. I think that teachers tell the students, wow, the teacher loves this game too. He's into this thing. And I find when I'm enthused in the game, boy, they just go a lot better. So when you're out in the playground, be enthused, be energetic, throw out compliments. Hey, good hit, you know. I got a boy in my room to hit just about as far as I can. Tells you what kind of baseball player I am, I guess. But he could sock them balls out there. So I like Tommy, good hit, you know. And so be free with your compliments. And also, I think this comes into the classroom to your studies to try and be inspired. This is know your information and practice delivering it. Well, that's probably something I don't always do enough like I should. I'm too much of a last-minute and procrastinator guy. But when you know your stuff, you come to history class and you got it. You don't have to be just sitting there. Okay, Latin America. Latin America is a country in South... That's boring. How many like to sit to lectures when all the person is doing just recognize and inherit worth of you being? Treat people like people. One soul is more... You know, how much would you get out of a lecture like that? That's boring. Try and learn your information that you can have eye contact with them and you can be enthused and inspired and they're going to catch the gist of that. And maybe we're going on a bunny trail, but I think that all has to do with respect, because they're going to be thinking, wow, my teacher, he's smart. He knows his stuff. Or maybe not so smart, because you say something that later you find out, oh, whoops, that wasn't quite. So, but I think it instills a respect and an admiration for their teacher. When you know your stuff, you come to class prepared and you're ready to get on with this thing. all right, letter S, we're ready for support. Support your students. All right, how do you do this? How do you support your students? Well, make sure they have what they need to be able to do their lessons. Sometimes I cringe because I get done with class and there's a lot of questions like, uh-oh, I must not have done my homework very well. And I can leave the students almost frustrated. Sometimes we have their teacher because they didn't cover the subject very well. So make sure they have what they need to be able to do their lessons. Make sure they have the information they need. It can be very frustrating for students and when they don't have that. And I think it can also breed a disrespect if that happens too many times. So make sure you're there to support them and give them what they need to be able to do their things. This next point, be a man of your word. Be someone they can count on. I think that's very important. That's something I feel like I can grow in a lot. First point under that is don't procrastinate. How many are procrastinators? Okay, we all start with that some. Procrastination, here's a quote. Readiness is the primary determinant of teacher effectiveness. You don't build a football team on game day, you don't drill a water well when you get thirsty, and you don't discuss procedures once an emergency has begun. Preparation is the key for teacher success. So prepare, don't put things off. there again, I think it can breed frustration and almost disrespect in students. I can feel that, especially comes to art class and I'm not ready. You know, okay, you're all excited about it. We're going to do some drawing here and oh, forgot the pencils or whatever. You know, you don't have all your things. And it's like, oh, okay, we're going to have to push this off till next week. And you can almost see it in their eyes. Like, oh, they're all excited about art class, you know. And so make sure you have your things ready. And don't skip it too often. It's easy for me to skip art class because, that's one of the classes that I didn't take time to prepare. But students are usually looking forward to that. So don't just skip over it. Try and have something ready. Another thing I thought about this, and maybe some of this is stuff you don't even struggle with, so maybe it's boring, but story time. I run out of a book and it might go 2 or 3 weeks till I get another one, so we just kind of skip over story time. But I teach 5th and 6th graders and they love story time. They would rather do that than stay out and play ball sometimes, at least if you have a good book. And so have those kind of things ready. I think it speaks to them that you're important. I'm going to be ready for you. And so here we go. We got this, right? Some of this I know is pretty basic, but it's stuff that I need brushing up on. This goes with what we're talking about. When they do a good job, make sure they know it. And also when they mess up, make sure you cover their back. It's easy sometimes when they mess up to just lay into them. Be there for them. Make sure they know you actually care. I have a student that comes from a home where I know sometimes if he does something bad, he gets a good chewing out about every time. And I'm just pretty sure that happens because you can just tell it. And I was determined that I'm just not going to do that to him. I'm going to take some time for him, spend a lot of time with him, and when something happens, just try and sit down and talk to him respectfully and help him through the thing. And I found it got to the end of the year and looked back and I was like, you know what, I feel like I really have a relationship with that student now. Because just because I was able to control myself, take some time and actually care for him and teach him. So I think there's a lot of, make sure they know that you have their heart and that you're going to care for them. All right, next one is practice. Practice empathy. This kind of goes with what we're saying. Walk a while in their shoes. Put yourself down on their level. Be willing to get down on their level and get dirty. I think that speaks, that helps to breed a desire for respect in a child. Sometimes I think too much, I see too much of this, I'm the teacher and you're the student's mentality sometimes, and that does not breed respect in a classroom. Be willing to get in there and get dirty with them and have fun. School should be fun. I really do think it should be. That really sometimes raises red flags in people's mind, but I think it should be fun. Be willing to get down on their level. A teacher's discipline problems are directly proportional to the teacher's distance from the students. If you're having discipline issues, I'm not saying every time, so don't quote me on this, but a lot of times it's because the teacher is not connecting with the student. There's too much of a gap in there, and that can breed disrespect, I believe. When they get hurt, this is maybe for younger grades, so if you teach upper grades, you can throw this out. When they get hurt or scrape, put a band-aid on it, kiss it, blow on it, say, have a good day. It's all little things that speak of respect. Have the child's heart. They can feel like, wow, my teacher just really bandaged that thing up and they care about this. It gives them a sense of importance and that you care about them. All right. Next one, letter E. Earn respect from others through respect-worthy behaviors. This is where I like to spend a good bit of time, or have most of my notes on, I guess. Neil said, too, we cannot demand respect, we earn it. And that's very true. I told someone I should have brought a check along, filled in the urn in the check box. Anyway, you cannot demand it, you have to earn it. Respect can never be demanded, it's earned. Every time you act, you validate who you are. Every time you do something, you're validating who you are. And how do we do this? How do we earn respect? Well, we respect the authorities in our life. That story at the beginning, if you're going to refer to your board members as the old hags that make the decisions for me, you're not going to get respect, right? So talk about the authorities in your life in a respectful way. Speak respectfully of board members. One challenge for me, I like to sing, and so I like to bring in all kinds of songs to try and sing. I've handed him lots of songs that didn't get approved to sing at school. And it goes down kind of hard because you really have your heart set on it. So watch how you respond in times like that. Make sure you're talking respectfully. It's not always easy to do that. What do you say when something like that happens? Here's one I thought about. This gets pretty practical, I guess. Once in a while in Illinois, we get some snow, not very much. But, boy, I just love snow days when you can sleep in. And the board, you're still in bed, and the board calls up and says, hey, school's canceled. Oh, that's great. I can eat breakfast in bed this morning. What do you do when you're expecting the next day to be a day of school canceled? You're probably more mature than that, but I think about that. Oh, good, snow tonight. Maybe school will be canceled tomorrow. But no, of course, you got to go to school. I told my students, I was like, man, I was hoping they would cancel school today. But how does that day go? Do you speak disrespectfully about that, or how do you relate to that? It's okay. We're good to be here and have school. Next point here under earning respect is respect yourself. Respect yourself. Don't be constantly beating yourself down. You meet people like that all they do is just, and really, it is actually a poor pity me thing. Is really what it is. Respect yourself. You have some worth. You can do something. Don't always be beating yourself down in front of your students. And right along with that, dress appropriately. Maybe this is something we don't think about, but how do you look in the morning before you go to school? Corners? You got a square head with things poking on each corner? Or what does your hair look like? Brush your teeth. I think about tonight, like, you can stand beside a child's desk. Do you remember what your teacher's whiskers look like? Yeah, anyway, that's really weird, I guess, but you're right there helping your student, you know. What does your breath smell like? If you start turning your head and looking the other way, you might want to second guess yourself. But, you know, I know, middle of the day, it gets kind of hot and sweaty, but appear respectful. Brush your teeth, comb your hair. that's a challenge for me. I can come in from recess. Oh, whoops, I didn't really. Just kind of pat it down, you know. But I think it all has to do about respect. It's an image thing. in fact, there's a few quotes here. These come out of the first days of school book on dress. And these are in, of course, secular settings. After Christmas vacation, one of my students left some pictures of the class holiday party on my desk. I took a look at myself, and I could not believe how I looked. I looked like I didn't care about myself. The next day, I came to school more appropriately dressed, and they all noticed and commented on how nice I looked. It was so happy, and they made me feel so good. I now spend more time caring about who I am. The students care about me. I'm proud of who I am, and they are also much better behaved now as a result of who I represent. So maybe we don't struggle as we're Mennonites, and we grew up in a good Christian setting. We always combed our hair. That's good. I'm not trying to complain about that, but do be aware of that. Another one, even as a substitute teacher, is the title of this one. My daughter, who just started a school counselor's job in a Phoenix school, agrees with me that we can win the children over with our appearance. She said, I dressed very nicely as a substitute teacher. The children held the door for me, one on each side. That's pretty scary and wonderful that they're influenced so easily by my appearance. So those are testimonies of people that could see a difference in their classroom by respectful dress. All right, handle yourself respectfully. I think that shows a respect for yourself. Handle yourself in a respectful way. Don't drag your feet and da-da-da around. Here's in an eye-opening experiment, groups of convicted muggers were shown videos of people walking down the street. Overwhelmingly, the muggers picked people who walked slowly, with stooped shoulders, who looked helpless, disheveled, and downtrodden. They rejected people who walked erect, purposefully, and confidently. So your body language and how you walk and talk speaks volumes to your students. And I think this all is connected in with this thing of respect. Next point, don't tell them to do something you're not willing to do yourself. It builds resentment and ultimately disrespect. So don't drill something in that you're not willing to do yourself. Here's a story. Why in the world do you walk sideways like that? Said a mother crab to her son. You should walk straight forward with your toes turned out. Show me how to walk, mother dear, answered the little crab obediently. I want to learn. So the old crab tried and tried to walk straight forward, but she could walk sideways only like her son. And when she wanted to turn her toes out, she tripped and fell on her nose. So don't demand something of your students that you're not willing to actually walk out in everyday life. They need to see that you're doing what you're requiring them to do. And that can be a challenge sometimes. All right, next point. Be willing to admit you're wrong and apologize if it's appropriate. This is something I think that's very important. And I actually had an experience with that this year. I don't talk much. Oh, actually, I do. So it's easy for me to blurt things out and, that wasn't very appropriate, you know. We had history. We were some in the history class. We were studying, I think. What was it? It was North American history. It was, I think over the time of the doctors and some of the history of medicine and some of that, and some of the dirty conditions in some of these hospitals about rats. And I don't know if I really want to say what I said because it's kind of embarrassing. But anyway, I made a comment that was not like bad, but in a school setting, it just wasn't really appropriate. And right after I said, I'm like, that was not very. The students laughed, of course, but it wasn't really appropriate. It bugged me for the rest of the day, and I went home that night. I told my wife about it, and that was embarrassing, too. I was like, you know what? I think the respectful thing to do would be go back to school the next day and just tell them I'm sorry. Do you know how much hard that was to do? Anyway, so I did. I went back, and I waited till history class, and before I started history class, I told them, okay, I have something I need to say. And of course, they're like, oh, boy. I said, nothing against you. I said, it's about me. Okay. They're listening, you know. I just told them, I said, hey, you remember what I said yesterday? Oh, of course they remembered. And the bad thing was, I'm like, this is going to go home, and the parents are going to hear this. And I'm like, what are they teaching him? What are he teaching them at school? Anyway, but that's beside the point. And I just apologized. Hey, I'm sorry. That was not appropriate to say at school. I was amazed at the response that I got from them. They were just almost like, they didn't know what to do with it, I don't think. They just kind of sat there and looked kind of like you're doing right now. They weren't sure what to do with it. They just kind of, but I think that kind of thing builds respect in students. When they see their teacher, he's not too big to come back and say sorry. I think that's a very important thing for us to remember. So if you do something wrong, be quick to go back and say, hey, I'm sorry. Because that instills in them that, look, it doesn't matter how big you are, you can make mistakes and you can fix things up. If you're big enough to do it, you're big enough to fix it. All right, don't have an overinflated view of yourself. So we talk about beating yourself down. Now the other thing is, I am the stuff. You know, you can get that kind of mentality too. Here is one of Aesop's fables to illustrate that. A gnat alighted on one of the horns of a bull, and remained sitting there for a considerable time. When it had something sufficiently and was about to fly away, it said to the bull, "Do you mind if I go now?" The bull merely raised his eyes, remarked without interest, "It's all one to me. I didn't notice you came, and I shall know when you go away." His little gnat comes and just sits on the bull's horn, and he's like, "You know, can I go now?" Well, the bull doesn't even know he's up there. Anyway, that's like some people that think, "Wow, here I come, you know. And, oh, you're leaving now? Okay, see ya. I didn't know you even came, you know." So don't have an over-inflated view of yourself, because that doesn't build respect. Don't try to be something you're not. And this is something that's easy to do for first-year teachers. You have maybe your teacher that you had, or maybe you know of a friend of yours that's a teacher or something, and you're like, "Wow, they're a good teacher. I want to teach like that person." And so you watch them and how they do things, and so you get in front of your classroom and you try and be like them, and it just doesn't work out. So don't try and be someone you're not. "An ass found a lion's skin and dressed himself up in it. Then he went about frightening everyone he met, for they all took him to be a lion, men and beasts alike, and took to their heels when they saw him coming. Elated by the success of his trick, he loudly brayed in triumph. The fox heard him and recognized him at once for the ass he was, and said to him, 'Oh ho, my friend, it's you, is it? I too should have been afraid if I hadn't heard your voice.'" So up until this point, he could scare everybody away because he had a lion's face on him. Then he, "Ha ha," you know, like a donkey would do. And, "Oh, that's actually who you are." Okay, so don't do that. Don't try and be someone you're not, because it's going to pop out somewhere and your students are going to not like you for it at all. Just be you. I had another teacher, a good friend of mine that was a teacher, and a really good teacher too. And I kind of looked up to him as someone I wanted to teach like, you know. And he told me one time, he said, in these words, he said, "Just teach like Denny would teach. Just be you." And I had to kind of come to grips with that, you know. I can't be this person or that person. I'm Denny, and so I'm just going to teach like Denny would teach. So I think being yourself in front of your students will earn respect. Be consistent in your rules and your discipline. Be consistent. I'm the worst for that, probably. That consistency every day. Make sure you're drawing the line at the same place with every student. I quote, "Fences that don't shock are not respected." If you got rules in your classroom and you don't stick to them, they disobey them, and you don't do anything about it, you're going to lose your respect. And the sad thing about it is, if a child gets used to that in his life, a teacher that doesn't stick to his rules, that's his concept of authority. And so then he starts thinking, what's my parents' authority? What's the church's authority? What's the Bible's authority? You know, I broke that before, nothing happened. That's kind of sobering to think about. So make sure we're being consistent, because that is shaping their view of authority and how they're going to relate to authority, how much they're going to respect authority as well. There needs to be consequences for disrespectful attitudes, words, and actions. There need to be something went wrong. There needs to be consequences for it. I'm not here to give a lot of consequences. Well, we got moving here. Be thankful and positive. Have a positive view of life. Be an optimist. Just shut up and be happy. letter C, consider others' feelings. So the word for this would be consider. Here again, this kind of infringes on some other things we were saying. One thing I thought about in relation to this is, sometimes the easiest teacher, we're all fired up about school, and so at the beginning of the year, we write all this stuff down. You know, we got this rule and this rule and this rule. Don't have too many rules. Have four or five and stick to them. That's better than a whole big rule book they got to get out and page through. Because the more rules you have, they only work when you're there to police them. Rules only work if you're there to make sure they happen. Rather, instill in them concepts, biblical concepts for obedience and respect, and then you'll have respect. You don't have to police them all the time. think beforehand how a student might take it before you say something. Here again, this is revealing myself. I can tend to talk too much, and so maybe it's just in fun. You kind of make a joke about something a student did. And, oh, you see they took it wrong. Maybe hurt their feelings. So watch how free you are with saying things about students. Consider their feelings. Don't publish every little thing you notice about a student in front of the whole classroom. Anyway, all right, moving on to the last one, T, treat. Treat everyone with dignity and courtesy. Respect other people's property. I think that's something important. You know, there's some adults that don't get this either. Respect people's space, their bubble. If you can say that, you draw a big bubble around it. Just, you know, just walk right up to him. Man, I went to church with him. He didn't have any concept of space. I mean, you back up, and he back up, and you back up, and he back up, right? Or not back up, but come towards you. So respect other people's property and their space. That, treat people respectfully. And you as a teacher, you know, your students have a desk. You know, it's their desk. They don't just brood it up. And I'm very cautious about opening anything up. I have already. I do sometimes. I think it's appropriate if you need something, get it out. But it's their thing. Don't root around in their pencil box, see how many purple or pink pens they have and how many lotions they have, the girls anyway. Don't snoop in other people's desks. All right, respect other people's body. I think that's something important to teach our students, you know. Boys don't just whack each other on the butt, you know. That's not respectful. It's their body. Respect it, you know. I think that's, anyway, I know a lot of that happens at home. But I think it's at school. We need to watch what all goes on. Restroom use and things like that. Be respectful, people. Don't be abusive, physically or verbally. If you have your Bibles, open up to Exodus chapter 34. Sorry, I'm really lecturing here. I feel like you're just getting bored from my talking. Exodus 34. We'll hear what the Bible has to say here. on this thing of being abusive with you verbally and physically. 34 verses 5 to 7. This is Moses here. And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, abundant in goodness and truth. You know, this kind of goes with what I was saying before, but we are made in the image of God. And I put that reference at the wrong spot. Sorry, let's just hold that for now. Okay. This goes, I'm losing my thought here, but don't be abusive physically or verbally. That reference goes to another. I put it at the wrong spot. We're made in the image of God, and this is how every Christian should treat other people. I heard an example that goes with this, Exodus 34. Could it be that our students are getting a faulty concept of God and who He is because of how we're relating to them? These verses apply to that. You know, God here, He's merciful. What else does it say He is? Maybe you close your Bible. He's gracious. He is long-suffering. He's abundant in goodness and truth. Our students are getting a concept of God by how we're relating to them. Common courtesies, say thank you, say I'm sorry, not oops, and excuse me. Do your students say good morning to you? Maybe you have that practice. God, say good morning. I hate that. Good morning. Talk to me, boy. you just want to shake them that. But I think it's good if you say something, they should respond. That's just respectful. All right, what do you have to say? Sorry, anything that stood out to you or something you want to add to what we were talking about?
We talked about giving our students a respect for the Bible and God, and the Bible. And one thing that I've learned is that if you're going to do that, you're going to have to go to church Sunday night and Wednesday night. It's easy sometimes, at least it has been for me, where I'm like, well, I got a lot of work to do with school, and so I'm going to skip prayer meeting or something like that to get it done, which might be all well and good, because it's not wrong necessarily to get your schoolwork done. But when it takes the place of school, it's putting less importance on God,
right.
And your students will notice that.
Oh, they notice for your church.
And I've had numerous parents tell me before, when I was making the church service, just say thank you for doing that. It's a good influence on our students. Mm-hmm. I don't think I've ever had anybody come to me and say you're being a bad influence because you're not coming, but maybe they wanted to.
Yeah, right. I have a story I want to read here. Yeah, I think it relates to respect. Standard Oil was one of the biggest companies in the world, led by the famous John D. Rockefeller. On one occasion, a company executive made a bad decision. It cost the firm $2 million. This was the late 1800s, and $2 million was a huge sum. Edward Bedford, a partner in the company, had an appointment to see Rockefeller. When he entered Rockefeller's office, he saw his boss bent over a piece of paper, busily scribbling notes. When Rockefeller finally looked up, he said to Bedford, I suppose you've heard about our loss. I've been thinking it over. Rockefeller said, and before I asked the man in to discuss the matter, I've been making some notes. Bedford looked across the table and saw the page Rockefeller had been scribbling on. Across the top of the page was the heading, Points in Favor of Mr. Whoever It Was. Below the heading was a long list of the man's good qualities, including notes of three occasions where he had made decisions that earned the company many times more than his error had lost. Bedford said, I never forgot that lesson. In later years, whenever I was tempted to rip into anyone, I forced myself first to sit down and thoughtfully compile as long as a list I possibly could. Invariably, by the time I finished my inventory, I would see the matter in its true perspective and keep my temper under control. There is no telling how many times this habit has prevented me from committing one of the costliest mistakes any executive can make, losing his temper. And that, my teachers, friend teachers, is respect. All right, we're going to stop. Sorry there was not much class discussion. That was by no means a conclusive list. There's a lot you can add or take from that. So thank you for your good attention, and you're dismissed.